Scripture reading will come from Romans 14, verses 11 and 12. That's Romans 14, 11 and 12. For it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
It's this time of the year that I go into the bedroom, and there's a little place there I put all my stuff that I get the end of the year and the beginning of the year for my taxes. It's that time of the year that we dread. I typically get everything out and I set it on the table next to me. I do it in my recliner. If it's going to be painful, at least I'm going to be comfortable while it's painful. And I'll have everything there. I'll have my laptop on there, and I start entering stuff. And invariably, I'll get the one part on the tax form, and I got to go run up and try to find that other form I needed that I couldn't find. I scramble to do it all. Sometimes I get really lucky, and I'm done in 2 or 3 hours. Other times, I sit there and get frustrated, shut it down, and start again the next day. But in the grand scheme of things, what we all will do before April the 15th will be insignificant. Daniel Webster was described as one who walks like a man but speaks like a god. He was a great orator. He had a really good way with words. But on one occasion, he was asked what he considered to be his gravest thought that he ever entertained. And he said, "My gravest thought is that I shall someday stand before the judgment bar of God." That's probably a thought that has come to our minds before. Maybe not as often as it should, but it has been there. And there's no way that we can make this upcoming event small. And it is of a truth that no one is going to escape it. On that day, every one of us will be stripped bare of that pretentious cloak of culture, of position, socially, and everyone will reach the common denominator of all mankind, as every one of us is going to stand for a final inspection before God. And it will be at that time that we will be given a sentence of life or a sentence of death. When that final day arrives, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. I've read the verse many times. It's times it causes me to really sit down and reflect on a lot of things in this life. Every word that I have spoken, every spare moment that I have gone through, all of the wasted opportunities, and every lost soul that we failed to reach out to. It's no wonder that Paul finished that thought with the next verse in verse 11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Have you ever considered your brain for just a moment? We are in the age of supercomputers, computers that can do things so fast that our mind can't perceive it. But what we fail to realize is that there has yet to be a computer built and designed that exceeds our brain. God gave us a supercomputer that man will never be able to attain. It is therefore that God will hold us accountable because of all the things that we can retain. All the thoughts that are still in there that have not escaped our lips, but is still there. And Jesus has showed that we are responsible for the things that we think. He brings that to light in Matthew 5 and verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her commits adultery with her already in his heart. You don't have to say nothing. You don't have to physically do anything, but the thought is there. Proverbs 23:7, Solomon writes, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Do you struggle to keep evil thoughts out of your mind? I certainly do. I think it is a curse on man when they began to have that knowledge of good and evil. It is very difficult to control. And Jesus, he made a point of this in a parable in Matthew 12. Starting in verse 43, he talks about a spirit who returned with others after a house had been cleaned. The object was that the house, after it was cleaned, was left unoccupied. An unoccupied mind allows evil things to re-enter and to dirty it up again. The thoughts that we think, at times we know we shouldn't, but we do. And the only cure is to fill the mind with the good things, the good thoughts. And God's Word is able to do that if we would put forth the effort. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 5, Paul reminds us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, every thought. When we truly surrender ourselves to the Lord, we can begin and have a purity of thought. Last week we talked about Philippians chapter 4. The one verse in verses 7 and 8 that we had is that it brings about this peace that passes all understanding, that it keeps our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And then Paul tells us the things that we need to think on, things that are true, things that are honest, things that are pure, things that are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is what needs to be filling our minds. And this is all the more reason to think about when we stand before God or before we get there, that every thought that we have, every single thought, is going to be brought back up. What is your day like? How do you spend your day? Now, probably say, well, I get up and get ready, I go to work, or I go take care of the kids, or I get ready for school. The use of our time is an ever-present challenge. And those are the things that we have to do anyway. Now, God, in the very beginning, when he brought this curse on man because of the downfall of man, he said we were going to have to work for our bread. And many of us work very hard for the things that we have. But what about the times where we're sitting down and we have our feet propped up? What pulls your attention during those times? A lot of times when we're sitting there in the evening, Vicki can look over and find a book in my lap. Now, the television is on, but to me, that's a lot of times it's white noise. I read the books. But is that the proper use of my time? Entertainment, recreation, the time that we have just to be idle, maybe it's just a time to close our eyes and take a nap, is not bad, if done in moderation. But where are we when we have evening activities here at the building? Where are we when someone is hurting and could use a phone call or a visit? Where are we when there is time, maybe we can learn a little bit more about God's will? How many times when things come up, do we say we don't have enough time? I got Vicki one of those Ninja Foodies here the other week. And I really like it. But let me tell you something. It's not a microwave, right? You're not going to cook something in 3 minutes. At least that was my perception when I got it for. But we have a lot of time-saving devices. But how much time has it really saved us? Realize I can boil water on the stovetop just as fast as I can in the microwave? Sometimes faster. But yet we still use these things. And yet we still say we're too busy. We don't have the time. Paul in Ephesians 5 and verses 14 through 16, he says, wherefore he says, awake you that sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The challenges that you and I face today serve to test our loyalty and our devotion to those things. What are we loyal to and what are we devoted to the most? And rest assured, it's going to be brought up. The words spring forth from the fountain of the heart. It exposes what we think. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of a good treasure, the heart brings forth good things. And the evil man out of the treasure, evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And by your words you will be condemned. Jesus hasn't stopped saying, why do you think evil in your heart? I'm not quite sure how many words we speak in the average time of life. I think someone had said we speak in a day about 10,000 words. I don't know if he differentiated between men and women. I don't want to get in trouble. But can you imagine on that last great day all the words that we've spoken in our lifetime we have to give an account of? When I have problems remembering what I said yesterday. Opportunities lay before us each and every day. Opportunities, both good and bad. You know, Paul was grateful for the opportunities, for the open doors that were given to him, but how many times have we seen doors open to us and we've walked right past? Paul, at least, was mindful of the responsibilities that these open doors were placed on him. I can't imagine going through a life that Paul went through just to enter through those open doors and to seize on the opportunity. But he tells us in Galatians 6:10 that as we have opportunity, that we are to do good. And it's not good to specific people, but good to all men. And especially to those of the household of faith. When we walk out these doors, what do we see? Do we see the end of a service, or do we see a door open for opportunities? What is going to go through your mind when you know that your final moments on this earth are coming to a close? Would it be the could've, would've, should'ves? Or would it be, I'm satisfied? As we get older and we realize that there are a lot of things we can't do anymore, or at least at the speed that we were able to do it, we start thinking back of, I wished I could do it more. As we get older, we look at the opportunities that we should have done and we think, well, I'm at that point now, I can do them, but our bodies are wearing out. We don't have the stamina. We need to be more mindful of the opportunities. And I'll put the word boundless opportunities in there, because that is what we have. We need to take hold of those things before that great day. We're not going to be able, when they close the lid on that casket, to evaluate and try to make corrections in our life. What we have to do today. We must seek it right now. We must find the purpose and plan it. Solomon told us of the duty of man in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, that our whole duty as ones created in the image of God is to fear God and keep His commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment, every secret thing. Maybe that's why Paul reiterated this again, that we're going to have to remind ourselves each and every day that the things we decide to do or not do will answer for that. I'd like to end with the words from Peter, 2 Peter 3 and verse 14, where he says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in peace with him, without spot and blameless." On that last great day, it's not going to be the time where we can sit there and gather all of our receipts of our lives together and present them for God. We're going to have to answer for every single thing. Whether we have lost them in the thought of our minds when we were alive that are still there, we are going to have to answer for them all. Whether it was one crossword to someone at a certain time in life, whether it was a door that was open that we failed to enter into, we must answer for that at one time. But take heart. And while we will have to answer for those things, there is one that is on our side that will be our lawyer in the last day. And that is our Savior Jesus Christ. God and His Son both knew and understood, and still do, that we will never be perfect, that we will have many shortcomings and many failures. And with all my heart, I believe that we will all be rewarded through effort as long as we apply ourselves. Where do you stand this day if this is the last great day? If you're not a child of God, where will you stand before Him on that day of judgment? Don't be left short. Take today to obey this gospel. The gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, God Almighty, through your repentance and confession and baptism, you will have by your side Jesus Christ as your mediator. And if you are a child of God and you have done some things that you need to make right today, take that off of the list of things that has to be brought up, because God will forgive those things and will cast them away and remove them from His sight. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come us together. We stand and we sing.